Mentioned in the prayer those that are battling COVID, and one person that I thought I'd just mention to you all, to, I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but our DS's wife, Deb Eddings, contracted COVID, and so far has only been experiencing minor symptoms. So we praise the Lord for that, but we want to continue to lift Deb Eddings and pray also that Dan does not contract COVID as well. Well, back in July, the Barna Research Group reported that one in three Christians had stopped going to church during the pandemic. That was back in July. Considering that most churches had canceled in-person services at that point, that kind of made sense to me. And then I started reading the study a little deeper, and I found out that what the study reported was that not only were one-third of Christians not attending church services, they also were not even streaming their local church or any church service either. So one in three Christians who had attended church before the pandemic started were no longer attending in person or streaming. That's quite concerning. I get that sometimes we cannot be present. This morning, for example, with the ice that's outside, it makes it dangerous maybe to go out the door. I had to make the salt go further than I thought it should to be able to get out my driveway this morning. My driveway is fairly steep, for those of you that don't know. And if I didn't get a good run at it, I don't think I would have made it to the road this morning. I certainly understand why people would avoid being part of a crowd of people during a pandemic. I also understand that it's difficult to attend church online. I am thankful that there are a number of people who have been doing that regularly throughout this pandemic. Thankful for those of you that are doing so this morning. You have to bear with me this morning. For some reason, my electronic device keeps shutting off, and that's where I've got my notes, so that's not good. I understand that attending church online is just not the same. Now I hope that the results would be different if the study was done today than what it was back in July. Why is being part of the church important to our Christian life? We have a responsibility to pass on the faith, don't we? That is part of our responsibility as Christians, to pass the faith on to those who are younger in the faith. We can look back on those who went before us in the faith. Those of us who were raised in the church can think of individuals that we think of as giants of the faith. Anybody else have any of those in your past? You think they're just giants of the faith. Those of us who are raised in the church, those of us who are raised in a Christian home can look to parents maybe and say, they were such an important influence in bringing me up to know Jesus. I often think about my pastor that I had from the time that I was 4 or 5 years old until I was in my upper 20s. Yeah, I was already a pastor by that time, but he was still pastor of my home church, and still I considered him my pastor. Dr. John Howd. And I think of him as a giant of the faith. In many ways, he was a mentor for me in the faith. We can all probably think of people that helped us, helped to form us in the faith. Nobody comes into faith without mentors, whether it be a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a parent or a friend. Whoever helped lead you to Jesus and whoever helped you grow in Him is so important to your faith. And we have a responsibility to pass along this faith to new believers. But if you're anything like me, sometimes you feel, I don't know, maybe a little inadequate for the task when you compare yourself to those we think of as giants in the faith. Just as we've received mentorship from others, it's important that we become mentors to others. And those of us that are here this morning, and those of us that are watching online, if you know Jesus as your Savior and you've been serving Him for a while, then you ought to be pouring yourself, your life into others in coming to know Jesus. And guess what? They look at you as giants of the faith. Let's look at one story of mentorship from the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Where we read these words, "When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets of Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, 'Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?' 'Yes, I know,' Elisha replied, 'but do not speak of it.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho.' And he replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, 'Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?' 'Yes, I know,' he replied, 'but do not speak of it.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan.' And he replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left. And the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, 'Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?' 'Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit,' Elisha replied. 'You have asked a difficult thing,' Elijah said. 'Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not.' As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, 'My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel.' And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. 'Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?' he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over." May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Well, one prophet's time, Elijah, had come to an end. His time had come to an end. But God did not leave the people without a voice. God did not leave the people without a messenger from Himself. I'm sure that as the prophets in training saw that Elijah's time on earth was coming to an end, they were concerned about how God would continue to work in the people. You see in this passage, every place that Elijah went and Elisha went with him, that there were groups of prophets. And they were all concerned about what was going to come. They said to Elijah, "Do you know that your master is going to be taken from you today?" They were concerned. They had this deep concern about what was going to happen. How would God continue to work among His people? Well, throughout history, the same concern has been voiced over and over again. And we wonder, what will become of the church when certain giants of the faith pass from this life into the next? I've often been concerned what the legacy will look like and how my generation will do at caring for the church. People often look to the younger generation of believers and wonder, will they carefully or faithfully carry the message of the good news of Jesus Christ to those that come after us? It would be a good question, I suppose, if the future of the church and the Christian faith were up to us. We could get caught up in all the changes that have happened over the years. Some of the changes that have happened in the church have been difficult to accept, while others have been wonderful. I've got to be honest with you. People are always coming up with new ideas and new ways of doing things, even church. Isn't that right? Who would have thought we'd be doing church this way? All of you wearing a mask, me wearing a shield. Some of you watching online. Sitting in chairs, not pews. Got a music stand, not a pulpit. Can't preach without a pulpit, can I? We can't sing without hymnals. You know, the songs we sing today are not usually the same ones that were sung even 20 or 30 years ago. But the truth is that that's been true throughout history. Few songs stand the test of time and are used for hundreds of years. It's funny because every once in a while, I like to introduce a new song, and it's one that was written like 300-400 years ago. Because we haven't heard those. Many years ago, few people could read. And before printing presses, there were no such things as printed Bibles. In fact, the people who knew how to read were usually the more educated. Usually the clergy would learn how to read by using the Bible to read from. And so they would come to church in order to hear the word read. Aren't you glad that you can have your own Bible? Or 50? Most of us have way more than one, right? I have a bunch of them. I don't always read from the printed text, though. A lot of times I use the digital text on my computer or my iPad because I have probably 50 or 60 different versions on there. When people couldn't read, they couldn't read the Bible, let alone hymnals. And so, believe it or not, there was a time in the church that they didn't have hymnals. Long, long time ago. Because nobody knew what a hymnal was. And now we rarely use a hymnal. Future generations may not even know what a hymnal is. And you know what? That's okay. It's okay. Life changes. And we do things differently. Elijah had been a great prophet. His life and legacy were complete. He had spoke the words that God had placed upon him. He had even been used to perform great miracles. He had even stood up to the king and had been victorious over the prophets of Baal. He had established camps of prophets who were his followers in places like Bethel and in Jericho and at the Jordan River. We read about some of those places this morning. He had established these camps of prophets or his followers. They're mentioned, as I said in the text. He had selected Elisha to mentor. And now the time had come for his life on earth to be over and for Elisha to continue the legacy. And although Elisha was not Elijah, the stories in many ways are very similar. Again, God did miraculous things through the life of this prophet, Elisha. God was faithful to continue to speak to his people through his prophet, Elisha, using a different human voice, but continuing to speak is what God did. He was faithful to continue to speak through this new voice. And God has continued his faithfulness to his people down to today. He's used this church, this local church, to send out many into the world to speak his words and to be his voice to a world that so desperately needs God. Now, I may be missing some, but I know of at least 5 other pastors on this district alone that spent significant time here in this church and on this district in their formative years in the faith. And they've gone out from here to preach the gospel in other places. God has been faithful to continue the legacy. Amen? Jesus also had those that he took under his wing, and he taught them. Jesus preached to great crowds everywhere he went. He was followed by hundreds and even thousands of people. There were times that he spoke to thousands of people without a microphone, without a sound system. I often wonder, how did that happen? Did he use the 12, maybe, I don't know, maybe the 12 disciples would stand off at a distance and then they would repeat it and yell out so that more people could. I don't know. I'm not sure how that worked, that he was able to speak to thousands of people and for them all to hear. I'm sure that they stood closer than we are allowed to today during a pandemic. But yet, he chose 12. And these 12 went with him wherever he went. Jesus poured his life into these 12 men in ways that the crowds only glimpsed. But there was even a smaller number. There were times when 12 was too many, and Jesus would only take 3. He would take Peter and James and John, just 3. And he would take them aside from time to time, and he'd really pour out his life into them. Perhaps most significantly would be the time that he took the 3 of them up the mountain with him to what we call the Mountain of Transfiguration. And it was on that mountain that Jesus' countenance had changed as he experienced the glory of God. And those 3 disciples, they had the opportunity to see Jesus on the mountain, speaking with Moses and Elijah, the very prophet from our text this morning. Elisha had seen the glory of God come down in the form of a fiery chariot and horses of fire, and they came to take Elijah away. The disciples that were with Jesus, Peter, James, and John, saw the glory of God come down onto the Mountain of Transfiguration and change Jesus' face. One text says that his face was so bright, it was brighter than any bleach could make it. And the 3 disciples heard these words. They heard the voice of God. And the voice of God said this: "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Listen to him. And you know what? That means more than hear what he has to say. Every parent here knows that hearing and listening are completely different. Every Sunday morning when I was a kid, my parents would wake us up and they would come in and say, "Get up." And I heard them. And they'd come back and say, "Are you up?" And I'd say, "Yeah, I'm up." I was awake. In my mind, when I was answering, "I'm up," I was saying, "I'm awake." But that isn't what up meant to them, and I knew it. I knew that what up meant was that my feet were on the floor, and that I was beginning the routine of getting ready to go to church. And so I know that hearing, I heard, but I wasn't necessarily listening. God says, "This is my Son whom I love, listen to him." Listening implies much more than hearing. Because listening implies obedience as well, doesn't it? The voice of God told the 3 disciples to listen to Jesus. The prophet Elisha listened to the prophet Elijah. Clear to the end. We have a responsibility to listen to the voice of God. A reporter named Karen Jordan, several years back, walked along the main street of a college university and asked the most profound question of those who were passing by. She asked this question, "If today were your last day on earth, how would you spend it?" She reported the following answers. Tony said, "I would get drunk, do as much dope as I can, and be with two pretty women. That's my dream." What a shallow dream. Chris responded, "I would spend it in the desert or a very peaceful place. I would just try to enjoy every moment and get connected to God and nature." Vera, an older woman, said, "I would phone my family and visit my friends." Luann said, "I would ride around in my new old convertible. I just bought a 1968 250 SL. And finally, Jacqueline said, "I would spend my last day with Gene." Elijah spent his last day on earth going to check on his school of prophets, on his schools of prophets. He went to some of the significant places where God had worked wonders in the past. Elisha wanted to be with Elijah throughout the trip because he desired to be faithful to the very end. And so he followed and watched everything that Elijah was doing because he desired to faithfully continue to carry on the message. And I have a simple question for you this morning. What about you? How would you spend your last day on earth? What would be your priority, your main mission? I'm sure if I went around this room this morning, or if I called those of you who are watching on our live stream, I would probably get a wide range of answers. Maybe it seems like a dismal topic, especially for Valentine's Day. But we've all been reminded, haven't we, in the recent weeks of how fleeting this life is and that none of us are immortal. The end on this earth is going to come for all of us. We're in a season where many in our congregation are continuing to mourn the loss of a loved one, of loved ones that have passed from this life into the next. If we go back a whole year, all of us have experienced loss and mourning over that year. Some more acutely than others, but it's been evident in all of our lives. We've lost a parent or the love of your life. All of us have lost friends. The question I want to ask you and what I want to leave you this morning with is this. Where do we go from here? What do we do in response to the loss, to the pain, to the grief? This week, we begin a very important season of the church year. I know that we've not always spent much time in the Church of the Nazarene talking about the season of Lent. We've sometimes considered it to be a season that's observed by Roman Catholics, and we've avoided doing things that appear to be part of that tradition. But if we throw out this tradition, we also lose something in the mix. Now, we're not going to have an Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday, but I encourage you to remember as we begin the season of Lent that from dust you have come, and to dust we all will return. I encourage you to spend time throughout this coming season of Lent to focus on our own humanity and on Jesus' humanity, the great suffering that Jesus went through in order to provide eternal life for you and me. I encourage you to join me as I try to spend time daily in His Word and in prayer for our world and for our church and to be refreshed and renewed in Christ. As I told you earlier, I intend to spend a few minutes each day doing a video that'll be on our Facebook page. I wish I could tell you exactly what time each day that will occur, but it's not going to be the same time every day. On the days that I work my other job, I start very early in the morning, and I don't see myself getting up early enough, like 4 o'clock, to record something those days. So it's probably going to be later in the day on those days. I invite you to go on this journey with me through this important season. I encourage you through this season to be intentional in listening to the voice of God. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and for your love. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together today to hear your word. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us as we travel from here. Keep us safe on the roads. Lord, we pray for those who've joined us via our live stream this morning. We pray, Father, that you would be present in each of their hearts and lives. Lord, help us to look around to find a mentor if we don't have one. Lord, help us to look around for people that we can pour our lives into in mentoring if we don't have that kind of relationship. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to listen for your voice, but not only to hear it, but to obey. Guide us as we go from this place, Lord. May we honor you and glorify you in everything we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, I want to encourage you, those of you who've come, the offering plate is in the back. You're welcome to leave that there. Those of you that are watching via live stream, we encourage you to go to Tithely. You can go there to...